Let's dive into the Word again this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians 5 again. We are kind of in the final few weeks of our series that we've been walking through, this 10-week series titled Feeding the Dogs. It's a series that has been walking us through the 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit that it talks about there in Galatians 5. And as we've jumped into this series, we've been talking about this battle between the spirit and the flesh. This battle that goes on every day of our lives. And we've used the analogy of two dogs. That's why we've titled it Feeding the Dogs. You've got the noble breed, right? The dog of the spirit, and the mongrel, the dog of the flesh. And these two dogs are battling for our loyalty. And the question that we started this whole series off with, the title of our first message was, who are you feeding? And the question was asked, which of these dogs are you feeding? Are you feeding the dog of the Spirit and the things of God and seeking the things of Him in your life? Or are you feeding the dog of the flesh and seeking these things of the world in your life? Because whatever we feed is going to grow. Whatever we don't feed is going to weaken. And you see, God's desire is that we would see the things of the Spirit, that we would see God grow in and through us. And so His desire is that we would seek these things of the Spirit and deny the things of the flesh. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we're gonna read out of Galatians 5 again, just the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord gives us through the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And that's God's desire, that we'd be in step with the Spirit, that we'd be feeding the things of the Spirit. Now, as we've been walking through this series, one of the main things we've been talking about is attitudes. We've been pointing out how important our attitude is in so many things. Because our attitude determines things in our life, right? The way we respond to stuff, it determines things. Our attitude, it determines the direction of our lives. It determines what kind of fruit is developed in our life, whether it's going to be the fruit of the Spirit, good fruit, or whether it's going to be bad fruit, the fruit of this world. And so our attitude affects everything we do. And so it's important that we look at our attitudes. And so each week we've been looking at different deadly attitudes. Attitudes that actually feed the dog of the flesh. Attitudes that can affect our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with others. And so we've been looking at these attitudes, and then what we've been doing is we've then looked at the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that attitude, to live the way God is desiring us to live. And so several weeks ago, we started off with the attitude of the egotist, and then we talked about the fruit that helps us combat that is love. The next, we talked about the attitude of the victim, and then the fruit that helps us combat that, it's joy. Next, we had the attitude of the fighter. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that attitude is peace. And then we talked about the attitude of the perfectionist. And we talked about the fruit that helps us combat that was patience. And then the user was the next attitude. And the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that is kindness. And then last week, we talked about the attitude of the chameleon. And the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat that attitude is goodness. Well, today we're going to look at the attitude of the escape artist, okay? The attitude of the escape artist. You see, the escape artist is all about freedom. Freedom is everything, breaking free. If it's fun, if it's easy, if it meets my needs, these are the questions and concerns of the escape artist, right? You see, they want to get what they want with the least amount of effort or challenges. That's their goal. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because I know myself, I want to get things with the least amount of effort and challenges as possible, right? But the reality is we live in a world where there are challenges, where there are difficulties, and we come in opposition. And the key is that we're not escaping those challenges just because we want things easy. You see, for the escape artist, there's no such thing as long-term commitments. They don't want to commit to anything for a long period of time. They want to keep their options open at all times so they can bail if they need to. They can get out whenever they need to. And that bailout happens when things begin to take effort, when they come against opposition, or when things don't meet their expectations or their demands or their desires of what something should be. And you see, for the Christian escape artist, right? What they do is they begin to treat the will of God in the same way. If they begin to face opposition, if things aren't going the way they thought, or if things get difficult or challenging, they begin to take on this mentality, well, this just must not be the will of God. God must be just shutting this door. And they begin to escape the reality of God's will. You see, it's a toxic attitude that destroys our relationships because of this flakiness and inability to follow through on anything of value, to press through, to persevere. But the fruit of the Spirit that helps us combat this attitude is faithfulness. God's desire is that we would be people who are faithful, that we would walk in faithfulness. You see, while the escape artist gives up and quits when difficult times come, faithfulness pushes through and perseveres. You see, faithfulness is all about dedication. It's all about determination. It's about taking a stand and not allowing circumstances, right? We've talked about that in the past. Not allowing circumstances and situations to cause us to give up, to cause us to escape the situation, to escape reality. Now, the thing about faithfulness is it's a lot like goodness, which we talked about last week, in the sense that it's seemed to have lost its value in the world today. It has. It seems to have lost its value. It's not as important as it once was to be faithful. You know, it was interesting as I was looking up faithfulness on the internet, you know, as I'm doing studies and looking up scriptures and definitions and things of faithfulness, I came across a Hallmark card. I came across a saying, a phrase found in a Hallmark card. Okay, this is what the Hallmark card said, right? I don't know what they didn't tell you what the picture or anything on it was, but the word said this. It said, "I can't promise you forever, but at least I can promise you today." Think about that. I can't promise you tomorrow, but at least I'll promise you today. Unfortunately, that's about the extent of the world's commitment today, right? We don't want to commit to anything past, well, okay, I can give you this. I don't know if I can give you that. It depends on how things go, right? It depends on if things work in my way or not. You know, it's a perfect picture of faithfulness and commitment in today's society because we don't want to commit to anything. We don't want to be faithful. And the truth is, it's harder and harder to find people who are faithful and committed to anything because the world has told us it's not important anymore, right? And so what happens? We give up on our marriages now. Instead of pushing through, instead of fighting through, we just decide, oh, I'm just going to give up. We give up on our jobs, right? It used to be people would work in the same companies and for a long time be committed and faithful. And now it's like, oh, it's too difficult. We just step out of our jobs. We give up on our dreams sometimes. Oh, I don't know. This is too much. It's too challenging. Ah, forget that. Maybe I didn't really want to do that. And actually, sometimes it's kind of sad. We actually give up on our churches. We see that happen all the time. We see people jumping around from church to church because it's not meeting my needs. Well, it's not what I want. Oh, it's not what I want. We give up and we've lost our faithfulness. And the worst of all, we give up on God. We give up on God. Which is kind of ironic because he never gives up on us. We give up on God, and the reality is he's the perfect picture of faithfulness. God himself is the perfect picture of what it means to be faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." We serve a faithful God. He's all about being faithful. And it kind of comes back to what we talked about last week. You see, we talked about values and how the world's value of goodness has gone down. And now we're talking about how the fact the world's value of faithfulness has gone down. But the reality is, it doesn't matter what the world's view and opinion of faithfulness is. What matters is what's God's view. What does God say about it? You see, God should be our standard when we look to what is of value in our world today. And he holds faithfulness in a high place. God is all about being faithful. Proverbs 3:3 says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." That should tell you right there, God tells us here, never let faithfulness leave you. It's obviously important to him. It's huge. You know, throughout the scriptures, you know, above all, love, right? But you know what's right there second? Beyond love, it's faithfulness. And a lot of things it says love and faithfulness. It's huge to the to the Lord. And so the question is, the world's saying it's not and pulling us in this direction. God's saying it. So how do we walk in faithfulness? How do we allow faithfulness to neutralize this attitude, to combat this attitude of the escape artists? Well, I got to tell you, this week I have been struggling through this message as I've been looking at faithfulness, and there's just so many different aspects and ways that you could go, and scriptures and people you could look up. I mean, I could look up many different people and talk about them and how faithful they are, and I've been wrestling with, Lord, what is it that you want to speak? You know that whole part of, let me decrease so that you might increase. Lord, I don't want to just speak a message that's a message. I want your heart for me, for our church. And as I've been struggling through this, there were a few things that began to resonate to the top. And I just want to share three things, three simple things that I think we need to know to help us on this journey of seeing faithfulness produced in our lives. And the first thing is this. The first thing that I think we have to realize is faithfulness is a process. It's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight, okay? You see, after our first month of marriage, my wife and I didn't have a whole lot of people saying, "Wow, you made it through a month. You guys are so faithful," right? We didn't get people saying that after a month of marriage, after a week's, you know, couple months. It doesn't just happen overnight. But you know what? After 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, now we're at 18 and a half years, my wife and I think, could be described as people who have been faithful in our marriage. Over time, through the process, we have been faithful. Now, it's taken a lot of hard work and dedication, you know, especially for my wife, okay? She didn't know what she was getting into when she married me, all right? And she may have had second thoughts if she would have known to begin with. But it's taken a lot of hard work and dedication. And it's a process that we've been going through. You know, and the point here is this, is we don't become faithful overnight. Faithfulness is a result of continued dedication, continued hard work, continued perseverance in whatever it is, whether it's a marriage, it's your relationship with the Lord, it's your work, it's what kids, whatever it is, it's this continued dedication. It's pushing through day in and day out and not allowing yourself to give up or give in. Because the world says, oh, it's not important anymore, you can give up and give in. But it's a process of learning how to persevere and push through. If we want to be people who experience faithfulness in our lives, we have to realize it's a process. And then secondly, it's kind of one of those that it's the second, but it kind of goes before the first, but you got to say the first before you say the second. And I don't know if that made sense. But secondly, we have to realize this. that even though it is a process, we have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere, right? You see, this journey of being a faithful husband started November 5th, 1994. That's when it all began for me and my wife. When I said, I do, in front of a church about the size of this. When I said, I do, to my beautiful bride. And even though, as I said earlier, you know, 1 month later, no one was calling us a faithful couple, it was that day that the journey had begun. The commitment had been made. The process had been started. Though true faithfulness is a process, it actually has to start somewhere. There has to be that point where you begin this process of walking in faithfulness. And it really begins by making a commitment. That's what faithfulness is. It's being committed to something and standing with that commitment. You see, that's the problem today. We don't fulfill our commitments. You know, it used to be a handshake held and bound things. And nowadays, you know, a handshake means nothing. It's making a commitment, and God's desire is that we would learn that it has to start somewhere. This journey of walking in faithfulness begins by making a commitment to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to your spouse. Faithful to your kids. Faithful to your job. Whatever it is, faithful to following Jesus, regardless of what difficulties and challenges we may face along the way. Because we're going to. We're going to face difficulties and challenges. But we have to start somewhere and begin to press through. And true faithfulness is the result of a process that happens over time. But it has to start somewhere. We have to take that point where we begin to commit to something, committing to the Lord, committing to His will for our life. And then the third thing I'm realizing that when it comes to faithfulness is if we want to truly live a life of faithfulness to the Lord, we have to pick ourselves up when we fall. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Peter. And I think it's because I can relate to Peter so well. All those mistakes, all those struggles, all those difficulties that he made, that's me time and time again messing up like Peter did. But I think Peter is an amazing picture of faithfulness. He dedicated his life to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into all the world and to share the gospel. And let me tell you, when you look at Peter and his life, there were plenty of times that he could have quit. There were plenty of times he could have thrown in the towel. There were plenty of times he could have walked away like the escape artist does. But he didn't. He remained faithful, even to the point of his own death, giving his life just like his Savior gave his. You see, but the thing we can learn from Peter is that he didn't let his mistakes hold him down, especially when he began that process. Because I'll tell you, at the beginning, that's when it's so hard, when we begin that process of commitment, of sticking with it. But he didn't let his failures and mistakes keep him down. He didn't let them keep him from persevering and remaining faithful to the Lord. You see, Peter made a lot of mistakes, and we see numerous times throughout the New Testament where Peter failed. But every time he got back up, every time he pushed through and persevered. Now, was he embarrassed? Was he ashamed? Oh, yes. He was. We see that. As a matter of fact, in Luke 22, 61 through 62, you know this scripture. It's right at the point where he had said, right, I'll never deny you. And right at this moment, he denies Jesus and the rooster crows. All right. I'll get my language right today. The rooster crows. And then Luke 22, 61 through 62, this is what it says. It says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And verse 62 says, and he went outside and he wept bitterly. Many of us maybe haven't had people read and look at our failures. We're looking right into Peter's failure here, his mess up, where he even sees Jesus himself looks at him and the pain and the hurt of failure. Peter knew he messed up. But you know what? Peter ended up picking himself back up and he continued to press on. You see, Peter became faithful because he didn't allow his failures to keep him down. Because a lot of times, that's what we do. So often, we allow our failures to take us out of the game. Oh, I messed up. I screwed up. As a matter of fact, I was telling someone yesterday or the day before about my failure. Many of you might have heard my story in the Marine Corps as I walked away from the Lord. And I remember I was called into the ministry. I thought I was going to the military to get money for college. It just didn't work quite that way, but I fell and struggled and was caught on some things. And I remember telling this pastor friend, so I've destroyed all chance of ministry. And he looked at me and said, that's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy. God's desire is to restore you. We serve a God of redemption. And that's what God did to Peter. Peter didn't allow his failures to keep him down. You see, so often we do that. We allow it to take us out of the game. I was ready to step out of the game because I had messed up. And thankfully, someone spoke into my life and said, no, pick yourself back up and let's move on. Because that's what God's desire is for us to do. But instead, we take the attitude of the escape artist and abandon our calling and commitments because it seems easier. And the truth is, it probably is easier to quit. It's easier. That's why people do it. Because faithfulness is rarely easy. But faithfulness is what God asks of us. As a matter of fact, it's not what He asks of us. Faithfulness is what He requires of us. And my desire is to walk in faithfulness, to allow this process to take place in my life as I learn to commit and as I make those commitments to the Lord, to allow this process to work in my life to where I become the faithful man of God that He's called me to be. Where I'm not just seeking what's easy, but seeking what is the Lord. Because that's it. We seek what's easy when really we should be seeking what is God's will and way for my life, to seek His plan, His desires. Because He says if we do what He's called us to do, He'll never give us more than we can handle. He's with us at all times. We can do all things through Him who gives us strength, right? God's desire is that we would follow His will, His desire for our life, and be faithful to persevere through the good and the bad. So that when all is said and done, we can hear those words that we all want to hear someday, right? Well done, what? Good and faithful servant. That's what God's desire for our life is, that we would walk in faithfulness, that we would live the way He's called us to do. And so my desire is that I would continue to feed the dog of the Spirit, that I would continue to seek, not just seek the things of God, but seek God. Seek Him first in all other things. The things of Him will be added. And then I will become the faithful man of God. You will become the faithful person of God that He's called you to be. Amen? I'm going to have the worship team come forward as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the fact that, Lord, when we just say the word faithful, there's no one that can fit that word better than You. Because, Lord, You are faithful. You're faithful when we're faithful. You're faithful when we're not faithful, Lord. You're faithful to us in all things. And, Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness that You pour out upon us. And we pray, Lord, that You begin to just teach us, how do we become people who are faithful? How do we become people who walk in Your faithfulness, Lord? Help us to continue to seek the things of You, to continue to allow You, Lord, to come alive in our lives, Lord Jesus, to become who You have called us to be, to walk out Your will, to not allow the world around us, Lord, to give in to fall into the trap that it's okay to quit. It's okay to step away. It's okay to fail our commitments because, Lord, you are a God of commitment about seeking and following the commitments that you've put before us, Lord. And, Lord, we can never do that on our own, but we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can do that through your strength who restores us when we fail and lifts us back up, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for today, even as we get ready for baptism. The beginning, Lord, we talked about it begins somewhere, and it's the beginning of that process of faithfulness to you, saying yes, being obedient to what you've called us to do, to walk in this step of baptism. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for everything that you're doing. Continue to challenge us, Lord. Show us areas in our life where, Lord, maybe we're not being faithful. Areas of our life where maybe we're taking the easy route out, and we need to begin to come before you and seek you, Lord Jesus. And so we just pray you would guide and direct us in these things, Lord. Teach us how to be faithful as you are faithful, so that when all is said and done, we can hear those amazing words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we thank you for these things. We just pray them in Jesus' precious name. Amen.